for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evenings, September the 1st, 2002. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jack Duran of New Joy Ministry, Youngstown, Arizona, is the minister of the evening. And has something to say for a few minutes, and then as soon as he's finished, Jack Duran will come and conclude the service this evening. And we just appreciate the ministry that the Lord's brought here for all of you. And we just praise the Lord for them and for their willingness to come and labor here with us. Dr. No.
Yes. This afternoon, I started talking about curses, and I said I was trying to compress 4 or 5 hours of teaching into about 15 minutes. And I really wanted, I didn't say to you, I want you to look at Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause cannot alight. A person curses you, if they don't have a legal right to curse you or a cause to curse you, a curse can't light on you without a cause. They've got to have legal grounds to fall. You don't have to be afraid of people. If you walk without out of sin, keep sin out of your life, you don't have to worry about curses. After I talked this morning, God witnessed on me, I didn't tell you that. And if you look in Numbers chapter 23, and this is Balak hired Balaam to come and curse Israel. Balak was the king of Moab. And he sent word to a prophet of God in Mesopotamia, and said, these people of Israel have come out, and they're like an ox that licks up all the grass. He said, they're as numerous as the sand on the seashore, and they're going to overrun us. I want you to come in. He said, when they came out of Egypt, their God opened, dried up the sea, and they walked through it on dry land, and they destroyed 2 kings of the Ammonites already. I want you to come over here and curse them, because whoever you curse, they're cursed, and whoever you bless, they're blessed. I want you to come over and curse them. And so Balaam came. There's sort of a story on how he came, and I won't go into that. But he came, and they built an altar. And he offered sacrifices, and he told him, he said, I can't say anything but what the Lord, Jehovah, tells me to say. And he says, he got up and he said, rise up, Balak, and hear. This is verse 18, chapter 23. Listen to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent or change his mind. God, has he not said, will he not do it? Or has he not spoken, will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot reserve it. Reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. And then you go down to verse 23. There is no sorcery, enchantment, fortune-telling, or divination against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. Balaam, although he's a prophet of God, could not curse them because they had no legal grounds. But should someone in authority curse you, you quote Isaiah 54, verse 17. says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which arises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, refute, or declare wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I just want to tell you that you don't have to walk in fear of curses as long as you keep sin out of your life. Now, if you got sin in your life, you got open grounds for curses to come against you. If you sin, and as Solomon said, there's nobody who doesn't sin. And as John said in the Epistle to John, if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep short accounts with God. Paul said in Acts, he said, I have always endeavored to keep a clear conscience before God. And the high priest said, strike that man on the mouth. And Paul looked up at him and said, God's going to strike you, you whitewash wall. You dead order me struck contrary to the law. Stand there to judge me according to the law and going to order me struck contrary to the law. And the people standing next to Paul said, you dare revile God's high priest? Paul said, oh, forgive me, brothers. I did not know that he was high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the leader of your people. See, Paul repented immediately. And then when he testified before King Agrippa, he said, I have always endeavored to keep a clear conscience before God and men. Keep short accounts, people. Keep short accounts. Don't let the sun go down on your sin. He says in Ephesians, don't let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil. And that word means give place to the devil means to move over there on the settee, let him sit next to you, or make a place at the table for him. Just move over and let him sit with you. And that's what you do when you get angry and let the sun go down on it. Now, in Hebrew, the sun going down starts a new day. You start a new day at sunrise. All Orthodox Jews will be in the temple at sunset on Friday, because the Sabbath starts at sunset on Friday, and they will be in the temple. They will quit working and go to the temple on Friday at sunset. A new day starts in the spirit world. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your sin. You repent before the sun goes down, because a new day starts. The devil got a right to you. You got the sunset to repent. Praise God. Keep short accounts with God.
Give the Lord a clap offering. I so appreciate Brother Noel. I don't think Brother Noel has to even speak to the devil. He just goes like this. You know? I want you to stand with me. And I want you to greet a few people before you sit down. How many are you? This is your first time to be here tonight in the camp. You haven't been here before? Well, the Holy Spirit. This service is prepared for you, brother. I want you to just, would you just take a moment to greet each other? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm meeting you tonight. I don't want to feel like a stranger. Right? And we are having church. There's a spirit of oppression that follows you. And the Lord, I'm going to tell you what, just like Paul told Timothy, you need to stir up the gift. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Okay, you're going to have to prophesy the word of the Lord to you. And you're going to have to stir up the gift that is in you. Amen. We can read that the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Give me a man back here. That's okay. Look at me. And you haven't been able to really laugh. But the enemy's been laughing at you. But I'm going to break that off tonight. And you're going to be able to laugh at the enemy. And you're going to sense the strength of God. Because you keep mulling this in your mind about what's going on. God says you're going to have to stir up the gift and you're going to have to lay it on me. Lift your hands up. I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to cause that spirit to leave you right now. Loosen her in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath for me. Loosen her. Come on. In and out. Loosen her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, restore to her. I want a woman right here full of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Put your stomach, your hand right there. Father, I release anointing right now. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of joy to come upon her, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I release the anointing of God. Look at me. Look at me. You keep your eyes. In the name of Jesus. I want you to speak with your tongue, devil.
Devil.
You're not going to torment me anymore.
You're not going to torment me anymore.
Look at me. I'm going to laugh at you.
I'm going to laugh at you.
I'm going to have a field day with you.
I'm going to have a field day with you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So I'm going to stir up the gift.
Stirring up the gift.
Because God is with me.
Because
say,
God,
God
is with me. God.
Fill me afresh tonight.
Fill me afresh
look
tonight.
Look at me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Stir it up.
Hallelujah.
Stir it up.
Glory.
Laugh at the devil. Can you laugh?
Hallelujah.
Can you just...
Yes, I can.
Go ahead. Laugh. Amen. Just laugh. Amen. Just laugh at the devil. The devil. Devil, we're going to laugh at you. Come on. Because the joy of the Lord is going to be our strength. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I release that right now. In Jesus' name. Come on. Release it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on. It's okay to cry. Thank you, Jesus. I break that curse on you. But heaviness got to go. I release you right now in the name of Jesus. I set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Freedom in you. Break it, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Come on, do it. Amen. Strength is coming to you. In the name of Jesus. Listen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap off when you do it. Amen. The Lord, He is good.
Get that around your lapel and you see it.
Preacher man, stand up for me. It doesn't take much to see rejection. But the Spirit of the Lord is breaking that from you. The Lord wants to anoint you with a greater anointing. And when you go back, where are you from?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. You're going to be fired up. And you're going to stir up the gift that is in you and begin to preach the word like you know what you're doing. You understand? And God's going to pour out a different anointing on you. It's going to break the yoke. Lift up your hands and say, Father.
Father.
Tonight.
I
receive it from you.
I receive it from
you. Give
me
a man back here. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I come against the spirit of rejection.
I come against the spirit of rejection.
It will not hinder me.
It will not hinder me.
Every wound shall be healed.
Shall be healed.
In the name of Jesus. Father, release a fresh anointing. What's your name, brother?
Todd.
Todd, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been wondering why people don't come and why people go. There's going to be a change in you. And you're going to get joyful about this work. Amen. You're going to get excited about doing what you're doing. It's not going to be a title. It's going to be the Spirit of God in you. Release the fresh anointing, Father, as you said, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, anoint him afresh in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's so much to preach on. Just so appreciate the word this morning from Brother Steve, Pastor Steve. What are you now, an evangelist? You're just a minister of the gospel. Praise God. Titles don't mean anything if we don't do anything.
That's right.
Amen. But I just want to praise the Lord for your very presence. And before I continue, I just want to say to you that we that have ministered to you, and I think I speak for every speaker here that has been here, I trust that we haven't come across as arrogant in your afflictions or wherever you are. And because of the way we preach and some of the things we say, we are not here to be arrogant. If we're going to be arrogant, we're going to be arrogant with the devil. Amen. And so I just want to speak that word to you that, last night I also made a statement about shorts, and I should have clarified that, you know. If that's the way women come, I'd rather have them in here that way than not in here. But I'm just saying don't wear short shorts, you know. Is that okay? And I'm going to leave it at that, okay? See, we evangelists or pastors or preachers, we come and we got to leave. We'll leave them to Glenn now. So, you know, I get people that come to the church and...
Right. My shoulders are wide.
And they don't come to the church sometimes, and they always say, well, I'm there in spirit. I said, don't send me your spirit. I have a lot of them over here already. Amen. But God is such an awesome God. So appreciated the faith teaching this morning. I was going to teach on faith, but I'm going to go a little different direction tonight in teaching. And I know a lot of times the word doesn't just sit right with a lot of people. I'm going to entitle this message, Clarifying Reality. Somebody say, we're going to clarify reality. You know, we all have been either... How many of you have been married? Maybe you've lost your spouse or Rachel. You is? Okay. I'm married to a blonde lady that I love so much. We have three children. One actually is my stepson. Got him when he was seven. We married when the son was 7 years old. As a matter of fact, my wife got saved under God using me as preaching. And I used to sing to her, go away, little girl, but she didn't. But God is so good. We adopted two other boys. One is in the Marines in North Carolina, and another one's married. Going through a lot of hard times. But they're my children, and I've broken curses off of them, and I got to go back and break more curses. Because one of the things, how many of you have stepchildren? May I see your hand? One of the things that always has to happen when stepchildren are there is if you're the stepfather, you need to ask God to give you a father's heart or a mother's heart. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You know, and that's one thing that I've learned. And I took these two boys that I've adopted. I took them out of the hospital when they were both a day old. One of them's 23 and the other one's going to be 22 next month, I think, or October. And they've given me, the three boys have given me five grandchildren. One, like I say, he's in the Marines. And they've been prophesied. They sing, they play instruments for the Lord. And so keep them in prayer for me. Yeah. Amen. But God is so awesome and so good. You know, I'm going to start out, if you'll stand with me. I want to start out with a very familiar scripture that we read and we quote in Deliverance. We quote it all the time. But the word of the Lord is so true. And one of the things that I want to deal with family issues tonight and some of the things that cause, you know, it is said that in some of us are statistics of those things. Or as one of the Mexicans says statistics, but whatever. But we're statistics of some of the things that happen in going through divorces. And thank God that He's merciful to us and gracious. And so we turn things around. He turns things around in our life. And there's a lot of condemnation that comes. Like sin is the divorce is the only thing that God doesn't forgive, you know. But I want to admonish you tonight because, you know, one of the things that happens in the church, I think they say now that divorces in the church are, I don't know where they get their counting, but they say that divorces in the church are probably higher now than the world. So, because one of the reasons probably is because most of the world just live together without getting married, I guess.
And so
I want to break some curses in that area tonight, but I want to do some teaching. But I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 29. Talking about here, verse 28, it says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord, for the instruction you give us, Lord. And Father, as you clarify reality to us tonight, clarifying reality, Lord, and make us to see that a lot of times, Father, the error that's even in us understanding the word of God. But you're a teacher and you're the revealer of truth because you're truth. And Father, you said that the truth would set us free. And so we just bless you, Master Ford, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at somebody and say, "The Lord wants to help you tonight."
The Lord wants to help you tonight.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. One of the things that it says in verse, if you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 20, and I guess this is the last time I'm preaching in this service, in this conference, but I ask God to touch you and help you move on to a greater thing in God. I try to be sensitive and discerning spirits. One of my greatest thrills is leading people to Christ. I have the restaurant ministry back home. I lead a lot of people to Christ in restaurants. I have no problem talking about the Lord wherever I go. God has gifted me in areas of gap, I guess. But in Matthew 20, verse 25, the word here teaches us, in calling the disciples, you know, there's the request from 20 on down about James and John. But in 25 of Matthew 20, it says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant." One of the things that I know is that Jesus says he came to be a servant. He came to serve us. And understanding that reality, we see here that in one emphatic statement, the Lord Jesus clarified reality. And so he was explaining to his disciples how the authority must operate in the life of the believer. And in one brief paragraph here, actually just three sentences long, the Lord of the universe made his point. And that's a very precise point that we need to understand, because I'm going to deal with leadership, I'm going to deal with subjection. One of the rules that we use as Christians, especially men, when we want to rule over the household, we talk about subjection, and you're under me because I'm the ruler, and I'm the head. You know, if you're the head, you don't have to shout it from the mountaintop. Come on. You don't have to blow your horn and toot it all the time. You know, I don't have to tell my church that I'm the pastor. You know, they already know. But I'm going to clarify some things according to the Word. And hopefully, some of you are going to understand that even your marriages are going to improve. Somebody say hallelujah. One of the things that I see in marriages a lot is that even in my church, you know, I've been teaching men and mentoring men how to be pillars, how to be the kings, the providers, the ones that take care, and how to be a warrior and standing as a warrior. And many times, even in those areas in our home, you know, our children sometimes can't even relate to us or come and talk to us because we haven't been able to communicate with them. And we as men a lot of times don't get the response from our children, because you usually see the children always want to go to mama. Even my children, you know, when they call on the phone, "Is mama there?" I say, "Son, can you say hi, Dad?" "Oh, hi, Dad." And so they always go to mom. And the reason is that because as men of God, we haven't given the opportunity for the children to come and really communicate. And maybe there's some of you here that have. And I take my hat off to you. But it's a learning process. I don't think anybody was born a professional father or mother. Amen. How many know they taught you a lot of things? And so my mother used to say, "You devil's disciples, I should have sat on you when you were born," you know. And I said, "Oh God, help us, Mama." But I love my mother, and I thank God for the heritage that He left us. And my father died when I was 8 years old, and yet she would always say, "You know, you will preach the gospel and you will follow the Lord." And rebelling, you always say, "I don't want to do that," you know. And how many of you know that when grandma and mama prays, things happen? And so the thing is that one of the things that I've learned even as a man is my son, one time I really slapped him around. And because my son wasn't drinking and he wasn't cussing, he was a young boy, 17, 18. But the attitude of a young boy had coming especially out of adoption and having curses and being rejected and abandoned, whatever they feel, you know, you deal with those issues, but sometimes, you know, you say good morning to them and they just growl at you like, "How you doing, son?" "Ah." Locking themselves in the room. And one day I really got fed up and I packed his bags. I said, "There's no room for your attitude in this home, son." I said, "Get out of here." And I went and followed him. And I stopped him in the corner. I said, "Son, I want you to come back." He says, "I don't want to come back." You see, the post, every roof must have at least, I guess you could make a roof with three posts, but every house usually has four corners to sustain the roof. And that's in the home, you have to have a king, you have to have a warrior, you have to have a mentor, and you have to have a friend. And so I was a king. I was providing. But I wasn't, my son needed a mentor and a friend. And I didn't give him that. I was a warrior out of kilter, slapping him around. But when we learn principles, then God changes and turns us around. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. Because if we don't deal with these issues in the home, we can cast out demons till we're blue in the face. Amen. And those demons keep coming. And I want to just emphasize to you that I trust that you will understand what the Spirit is saying. Because in this particular scriptures here, in verses 25 to 28 of Matthew 20, the Lord here is very emphatic as He teaches the Word to us. I'm going to read those scriptures to you in Matthew 20. And I want to read them again because it's very important that we understand what God is saying. Amen. Amen. And I want to read this to emphasize to you what Jesus is saying to us so that we can grasp what the Lord is saying. So some of us men will not be as machos as we think we are. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Now, in this thing that we see, that Lord points out, the Lord of the universe made His point. He settled the nature of authority. And authority is already being set by the Lord. And He one of the things that He does is He settles the nature of authority because how many of you know that He's the author of it? And He ought to know because He invented it. You know, on certain terms, He let them know that being a leader wasn't what they thought it was. You know, a leader thinks that he's got to rule and push and shove. And many times in the homes, this pushing and shoving has been there. Maybe some of you have done it, or your parents, your mother, your father, or somebody in the house has done that to you. And it just transfers to the way you handled your own children from the way you had been handled yourself. And those are actually curses that happen. If you understand where it says there about binding, how can you, go and control if you don't bind? How can you take over the house? And in that word in Hebrew, where we talk about house, that house actually means generations. If you study in the Hebrew, the word house means generations. And it means that it's not only talking about those people in your four walls. It comes down from generation to generation. So it follows your children. And if we break those curses, we're talking about Brother Noel has just done such a tremendous job of ministering in the curses. And God is such an awesome God. So in no uncertain terms, he looked at them and spoke this few words that we just read in his sentences and let them know what the true meaning of leadership was. Wasn't what they thought it was. You know, kingship, leadership, headship, patriarchy, whatever you call it. Whatever you want to call it, Jesus dealt with the issue. Jesus spelled it out in simple language to the man and to those that wanted to be in authority. Because first of all, it's not bossing, but it is serving. Amen. Somebody say, it's not bossing, but it is serving. And one of the things that we sometimes have learned or see is that we feel like our children are given to us to be our slaves. And so we injure a lot of our children and they carry this hate, in dealing with men and women and teaching, especially to the men. I'm seeing some changes just because of some of the women are coming around and saying, you know, I used to tell my husband, you think I just had your children to be a slave to your children and clean them and to cook and do all these things for you. But the men are beginning to change it. They're beginning to understand the leadership. Amen? See, we as men believe that once we work and go to work and come home, it's over. And we're just couch potatoes. I ought to hear a lot of amens from women today. And the men are going to say, don't bring him back. Because you see, when we are in leadership and authority, we should be guiding and directing, and it's not demanding, it is caring. And when we begin to care instead of demand, things are going to happen. It's not strutting. Brother Noel was talking about, you know how you strut? Yeah, I'm cool. And so you're strutting, but it's stooping. It's kind of, you know, here I am to serve you. And it's not leisure. Being a leader is not leisure, it's labor, it's a lot of work. And that's one thing that the enemy has done in the homes, has come and distracted and messed us all up, especially when Christians got a hold of the scripture that says that the woman must be subject or under submission to the husband. And so they read that scripture and I said, man, ain't nobody want to be under you. Nobody wants to be under a tyrant. Amen? Because you see, it is not exaltation. It has to be the cross. And when we begin to walk in the way of the cross, all things change. I work at my marriage. I work at making it work. It's not just that, yeah, here I am, you know, the pastor. I've learned a lot of things out of the Word, and God has changed me. You know, I grew up sarcastic as I'll get up and go. You know, catty, if you use that word, understand what it means. You know. Fighting and just, you know, I've had my spine broken 3 places and my shoulders dislocated and I've had my hands broken and my head busted and because of the way I was, you know. And when you feel in that rejection because there's no father, no father image, you want to be kingpin wherever you go. And somebody always tries to mow you down. My mom used to say, there's an axe for every tree, son. Amen.
I said, okay.
You know, when I was in rebellion as a child, you know, as a young man, I used to come home so beat up that my mother would see me and faint. Amen. And a lot of guys in a lot of my fights, I made a lot of men run. But they never caught me. One of the things we see in the Word, that Jesus here as we deal with the Word, is Jesus Christ clarified the reality for his followers as they had never understood it before. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. He says, you know, these things ought not to be among you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his church. He says, let them out there in the world do it, and let the kings rule that way. But you are servants. You've been born again, washed in the blood. You ought to be like me. How many of you know that the work of the Holy Spirit now is just to make us more like Jesus? He's got no other work but to make us more like Him so that we can be used of Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
So say it with me. A leader is a servant.
A leader is a servant.
See, if we don't operate in that area that God wants us to operate, we open gates and doors for all kind of demonic activity. And that's why so much division and separation. Yeah, we can deal with the curses of the families and act like dad and mom. But we have truth. And truth sets us free. Say it with me. We have truth. And truth sets us free. See, that was the charge that with authority must lead with love. Amen? That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus did, and He is still changing the world today. And so He was changing the system to those that were following Him and said, this thing ought not to be among you. And next time your husband acts different, say, let me go buy that tape from Lake Hamilton. I don't know if Jesus influenced Mohandas Gandhi, who said, power is of two kinds. One is obtained by the fear of punishment, and the other by the art of love. Yes. He said that. You know, you can either control with love and rule with love, I should say, or you can rule out of fear. And I've seen many women that are so afraid, and that doesn't mean that women aren't tougher sometimes than men. Amen. We have Jezebels in the house. And Jezebel doesn't necessarily mean that it's the spirit of the gender. You know, it could be a man. And then we have this passive dude that, yes, dear. Because he doesn't want to take the lead, and he doesn't know how to rule, and he doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't know how to walk in the power of authority. Amen. So he becomes an Ahab. So out of these two powers, there's based on love. You know, love 1,000 times is more effective and permanent than the power of fear.
Yes.
You know? One of the things, you know, when we grow up under the leadership of a man that rules, you know, every time you pass by him just for the heck of it, he slaps you. Well, you grow up that way with your own children, and you wonder why the children don't want to respond to you. And in sincerity, maybe some of us, if we asked our children what is going on, they probably let you know we were afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Too often men miss the profound principle, and that's at least one major reason male headship in the home and church is under such fire today. Because they don't understand the divine principle of what Jesus was teaching, and all kind of demonic spirits of control come in, and all time of wrong authority that wants to rule in the household. And men haven't got the message. Amen? Because we're still strutting about demanding submission. I see it in my church all the time, and I teach men, I says, nobody is going to follow you. And they come to you and they say, well, we don't want to hear what the pastor has to say. But I want to let you know that if it works for me, it has to work for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, a lot of people say it doesn't work. And you hear it all the time from many people. I said, well, it's not working. I said, well, how come it's working for me? How come it's working for me? And if it's working for me, it has to work for you. Amen. And so they began to demand submission. We're still playing by the outdated rules of self-assertion and self-promotion and self-absorption and self-evaluations, which never were appropriate in God's kingdom.
Amen.
And so we want to be the ones that are going to rule that way. Are some of you getting something already? Because I believe that Jesus' point is clear. It shall not be so among you. Say it with me. It shall not be so among us. It shall not be so among us. Amen. You know, as my children were growing up, and I've learned that my children had to hear repentance from me and ask my children to forgive me for the way sometimes I handled them. And when I knew when I was correcting more out of frustration than out of love. And I had to go to my children and I said, I want you to forgive Daddy. And I would weep because Daddy didn't do it right. And Daddy didn't spank you right. And Daddy got out of kilter. I was a warrior out of kilter instead of a warrior protector. Can somebody see that? And when the warrior is out of kilter, that means one of the pillars is not in place. And so the child then responds to the way you treat him and probably carries, if you don't correct it, he'll carry that to his own other family, to his own children, and he'll get out of kilter. And so we need to understand the principles that Jesus was teaching here, because there's no room in Christ's camp for those who lord it over the others. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, leadership, divine style, the only kind a Christian man is allowed is servant-hearted. That's what Jesus was dealing here with us. You have to be a servant. We can't come up here and tell the church, well, if you don't like it, that's tough. Somebody set us free. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so leadership, divine style, is the only kind a Christian man is allowed. Amen. It's servanthood. Because you see, if Christ has lieutenants, all lieutenants in the kingdom of God, they need to learn how to lead with servant heart. Amen. You know, my church is there not to carry everything for me. People say, why are you doing that? I say, why not? You shouldn't be doing that. Why not? I vacuum, I do whatever. I get really frustrated when my church is dirty. When the floor is dirty and nobody vacuum. It doesn't hurt me to go get a vacuum. Instead of getting all upset with leadership, you don't pay them. Amen. So, well, they're deacons and elders. Yeah, but if you paid them, it'd be different. I'll tell you, I told my wife, if you want me to vacuum, just give me a lighter vacuum. Or a lighter iron. I have no problem ironing my clothes and doing laundry and stuff like that. It doesn't make me a sissy. Doesn't make me feminine. Amen. Doesn't turn me into homosexuality. Amen. You see, I have nothing to offer to men. But God is good. You talk about mutual submission here. You know, in Ephesians 5, actually, it deals with this area. How many of you know that deliverance is going to happen tonight just on this subject? Amen. And somebody said, somebody better tell my husband. In verse 21 of Ephesians 5, you know, we're talking here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I think a lot of men don't read that. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And that's one thing that women don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that he's the head. It's already written. You can't change it. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. But a great mystery says, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. He was using the illustration how it should be here on earth, so it is in heaven. That's what Paul was saying. He doesn't mean, well, that doesn't mean anything. I'm talking about the church. He's saying, as you love your wife, you ought to love your wife like Christ loves the church. If we direct and we lead like we ought to, like Christ loves me, you know. Says, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, as the wife see that he reverence the husband. I want to deal with this a little bit because a lot of demonic activity comes into play in the marriages and in the homes when we don't understand the scripture that talks about submission. I hear it all the time. Well, my wife has to be submissive to me because God says I'm the head. Then act like a dummy. Act like you're the head. I'll tell you, man, if you begin to build up your wives, it's going to be better for you. If you begin to speak the word to them and encourage them. Amen. You know what I do to my wife every morning before maybe some of you haven't done it, maybe it'll help you. I every morning get to my wife and I hug her and I say, I speak blessing to you, I speak strength to you, I ask the Lord to direct you. She watches my grandchildren, I ask you to give you wisdom and patience with his kids, and I ask the Lord to be with you all day, the angels of the Lord upon you, and the blessing of God to be upon you. And then she turns around and gives it to me. How many of you know that it doesn't go better with Coke? Because I'm going to tell you something. We deal about mutual submission here. Because mutual submission is not only an oxymoron, it's an impossibility. Amen? An oxymoron is a figure of speech in which opposite or contradictory ideas or terms are combined. It's like saying it's a thundering silence. Okay? That's an oxymoron. Amen? But this mutual submission is not only an oxymoron, it's an impossibility. It'll exist neither in theory, nor in practice, nor in scripture. Amen? You see, it's actually a biblical term used by biblical feminists to suggest that Ephesians 5:21, wives be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, is actuality is quite the opposite of that suggestion which writes to us in Ephesians 5:22 through 6:9. It's an illustrative amplification of Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Because you see, this thing is not an oxymoron. In reality, it's just a moron. Because you see, the apostle actually is simply stating that there is to be a clear order of authority and submission in the community of believers. There ought to be a divine order of how it should happen in the church and how it should happen with us. Amen. Amen. It doesn't hurt you to get up and get a glass of water, man, when you come home. You know, you get your water all day work. And you come home and you want to be the kingpin. The head is home. And the wife is looking out the window. Shh, daddy's home. Move, God. Because you see, one of the things that he does here, he illustrates the principle in actual priorities that he, or practices that he has. Because I want to share something with you here that, for example, wives be subject to the husband, children. If you look at this as wives be subject to the husbands, children to parents, and slaves to masters, and so on and so on. You learn something different here because the root of the verbs be subject carries the idea of serving. Hello? When you talk about be subject, you need to understand servanthood. Amen? If we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18, then we need to understand who directs our path so that we don't open gates for the spirit of divorce and everything that comes into our lives. One of the things that will begin to change in our lives is the way we relate to those around us as being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, according to Ephesians 5:21. It says, if you're subject to one another according to the Word, Paul then gives us three relational illustrations in 5:22 to 6:29 that are very important because it says husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves, that should reflect this charge in relationship. And that's the way it is. And one of the things you need to understand, the bottom line, we must serve one another. Hello? It's not an equal thing. It's a respective thing. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, women are not equal with men. I'm going to tell you that right now. Medically proven and scientifically proven, even their brains are different. Amen. And they're smarter in areas than men are. It's a proven fact. But the world said, remember when the men went to war and the women took over? It was because the men weren't there and they didn't want to relate to the thing. So the women began to take over. And a while back, a bunch of the women went to Washington and marched over there. We were fed up. They were fed up because the men were taking their places. And the devil came in and they began to go to the Capitol and they began to burn their underwear over there. And said, we're fed up. And we're going to take over. And we're going to be the man. Because the man don't know how to take the servanthood spirit and begin to work according to what God says. Let me tell you something. If you apply this principle of being a leader and under the Holy Spirit, your relationships at home are going to change. And that's why the frustration has come to a lot of women, even in the church. Because the man has said, I'm the one and you're going to obey me, and probably gets left around. I had one of my deacon women just told me, I said, my husband really got upset and pulled my hair. Man, you want to say, hey, buddy, you want to go behind the church with me? You know, when the enemy comes in, we need to apply the oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We must serve one another's needs in the way that enabled to become all God designed us to be. We must serve each other according to the word of the Lord. Amen? Especially some of us that have children. You know, some of us think that our wife don't do anything. Man, you got kids, you got work. Amen? Cleaning little butts all day? Snotty nose? Amen? But he begins not by telling the husband to be the head of his wife. Paul doesn't start here and telling the husband that he should be the head of the wife, because you need to understand he already is. God wrote it. Paul never comes in the Word. The Word never comes and says, husband, you got to be the head of the... You got to be the head. You already know it. You already have the title, husband. What does the husbandman do? He trims and he takes care. That's what it means. By calling to recognize that God designed him for it. Are you getting something out of this? See, once we understand the principle of servanthood, we're going to kick out demons out of our lives. And those spirits of frustration and anger and hate that come. You know, I had a lady in my church, and they started coming to my church here about 5 years ago, and now they're in ministry, and you can see changes in their lives. She says, I need to talk to you. I said, I wish my husband was dead. Well, some of you go, ooh. Had an elderly lady, 85 years old. She says, I had never in my life thought about divorce, but I thought about killing this guy. And the frustration, you can see it in women, because they try to act good in church and they're so frustrated. If they had a chance, they'd skip church in no time and leave you standing. Thank God they haven't done it. But women get fed up with the pushy attitude that men get and the demonic forces that come in with the authority that shouldn't even be there the way it is. Amen? Yes. And that she needs to serve his mandate to function as the head of his marriage and family. Amen? Paul tells the husband, to recognize his wife's sovereign appointment to be the most important person in all of his life. Let me tell you, man. The church is not your main function if you're married. Your wife is. And you need to handle her as a sovereign appointment to be the most important person in all of your life and to serve that need by loving and cherishing her. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Amen. You know, if a woman is encouraged all the time, you know, my wife makes a hot dog. Man, this is the best hot dog I've had today. Hallelujah. Thank God I don't get hot dogs every day, but I like hot dogs. But to argue, if we argue according to some of the Christian feminists do, that being subject to one another means that the husbands are to be subjected to wives as nonsensical as parents being subject to children. To say and argue that the husband also, it's an equal thing that the husband ought to be subject to the husband is nonsensical. It's an idiotic thing. But I'm going to say, oh, that's not fair. It's not fair, it's right. Amen? And so husbands be subject to the wives, and it's not there. Because as parents, it being subject to children. How can the parent be subject to the children? It's crazy. You can't have a little kid telling you what to do. But if you reverse it as a leader, you're going to bring your children in the admonition and the ways of God. Amen? And so, masters being subject to slaves. See, it would be crazy to reverse the role and say, well, you need to be subject to your wife. It's like saying, masters, you be subject to your slaves when slavery was here. That's crazy. Somebody say it's crazy. You see, it's not only conceptually wrong, it is totally wrong. Because you need to understand that the word subject, to be subject to, and one another have specific usage patterns, context, which absolutely prohibit the possibility. And I want to share with you why. Because you need to understand that in Ephesians 1:22, the universe is subject to Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:28, Christ is subject to God the Father. In Ephesians 5:24, the church is subject to Christ. In James 4:5, Christians are subject to God. In Colossians 3:18, and gods are subject to their husbands. And I'm going to share something with you. None of these relationships can be reversed. Who wrote the book? How many of you know he ought to know? Amen. Submission is always submission. Because you see, it's always singular in its direction when it refers to authority. Always. It is never mutual. You see, the words of Scripture cannot be turned sideways and twisted to force the reverse. You can't make it fit your own thinking. You have to align up with the Word of God. Amen. Because you see nowhere in Scripture a husband's told to be subject to the wives. Elsewhere, husbands are told to take the lead. If you lead, how many of you know? If you lead somebody and you lead right, somebody's going to follow. I think John Maxwell made a statement one time. He says, if a leader thinks he's leading, nobody's following, he's fooling himself, he's only taking a walk. Amen. To be sure, husbands are instructed to take that lead with great amounts of sober responsibility. Tender sensibility. That's what we need. Amen. And caring thoughtfulness. But they must take the lead. How many of you know that there's need for bringing strength into balance? When we bring strength into balance, we kick the enemy out. If we do it God's way, a lot of us will need deliverance. How many of you know that we need deliverance because it hasn't been done God's way? Amen. I've had demons cast out of me. I ministered with Frank Hammonds and Marzullo and those brothers up in Florida and all over the place. I've had them in my church. And when I began to see the patterns and the demonic forces that were there, I said, man, clean me out. Amen. And so those are the things we need to see because authority exists at every level of existence. There's authority in all level of existence because you need to understand that's because it's part of the very nature of God. God has authority. And the neat thing about it is that He has given us authority to take over the principalities and powers of darkness. He says, in other words, He says, don't let them walk all over you. I give you power to tread on them. You walk on them. Somebody say, amen. Because you need to understand that authority is essential. Amen. It's part of the parcel of life itself. And that's what God has given us. Life cannot exist without authority. You understand that? Say it with me. Life cannot exist without authority. Amen. You see, man, when we lead our wives and our families and those around us with love and care, instead of, you know, there's four pillars, and you need to understand that as pillars. You know, you're a king, and you're a mentor, and you're a warrior, and you're a friend. Life cannot exist without that. Because those that comply with authority without understanding the principles tend to become bitter and angry even when they are coming under authority. Women are yet fed up, you know. Look at your wife, you that have a wife next to you. Look at her. Look at her, brother. And tell her, you're not my slave. You're my wife. You're my companion. You're my lover. Somebody says, oh God, do I have to look at her? Oh, help us, Father. How many of you know that that anger that comes makes it hard for everyone?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, sometimes I've seen women upset with their own children, not because the children were so bad, it's because of the way authority was handled from the husband on down.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I want to let you know that those who understand and have a healthy attitude about authority turn everything into a want to rather than a have to. Wouldn't it be better that your wife wants to do something for you instead of having to? Or your husband wanting to do something for you instead of having to? I'll tell you, what a blessed relationship. My wife always said, I like doing it. I'd like to do this for you. My wife sometimes, let me say, you want anything? I say, I'll get it. No, I'll get it. No, I say, I'll get it. Finally say, you got it. It's better to have those around you want to do something for you than having to do it for you. Because it brings a lot of consternation. Sometimes constipation, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Need a royal flush, I'll tell you. So I need to let you know tonight that if we're going to get a grip on authority, we need to understand authority. Amen. Turn everything into a want-to rather than a have-to. So when we get a grip on authority where we live, it needs to start at home. See, who will you follow? Who are you going to follow? God or the whims of the feds of the changing society? Stand with me. I want to let you know that headship is leadership. You understand? Let me tell you something. I get so frustrated because I see a lot of women abused and misused by their husbands. You know why? Somebody needs to teach them. And somebody needs to teach them how to be headship. Amen? Because you see, you need to understand that headship, there's a headship and authority in God. In the Godhead, there's authority in the world of the angels and demons. There's authority among nations. There's authority among churches. There's authority among homes and families. And there's authority in marriage. But the authority has to come under the subjection of the Holy Spirit in order to rule like God wants us to, so that we do things because we want to, not because we have to. And when that takes place in your relationship, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at church, or whatever you do, whatever headship you're head of, then you need to understand the principle of servanthood. So that God can begin to work through you under the direction of the Holy Spirit to make you what Jesus said, these things ought not to be among you. Because you see, when you begin to understand this principle, women are scared sometimes. They're there because they have a covenant. And thank God they're sticking in there with a covenant. But I want to say to you, God didn't call you to be a doormat. And some of you still carry the bruises of abuse and misuse and words that have come and negligence and the pushing and the pulling and the slapping around. But God came to deliver us from such things and let the authority of God move in our hearts. I have an evangelist that comes to my church. I need to kick his rear end. He weighs about 300 pounds, but he doesn't do anything. His wife does everything for him, carry his books, set up the table. I want to say, get up and move, man. Lose some weight. That's true. Amen. And you can just see the frustration. Amen. They just see the frustration because the woman does all the carrying and all the setting up. And you know I'm here to preach. I'm the man of the hour. God ought to slap you around and sit you down and let her be the woman of the hour. Oh, Pastor Jack, sit down. Because you see, when you begin to move in the rulership of God, you're going to take authority the ways God wants you, and you're going to be able to back off a bunch of demons that come to infiltrate or destroy your relationship with your spouse. Amen. So we get up and shout, you need to be subject to me because I'm the boss. God said it. Who are you bossing? I'd rather serve. See, my main concern in my home is I'm a king, and a king has to take care of the kingdom. Amen? And a warrior has to be in place so it's not out of kilter. And then there's got to be the mentor to instruct. And my wife has to have a friend to talk to. You know, sometimes my wife has come to me and said, I need to talk to you. I said, not right now. I am so tired, I'm going to chew your head off. Amen? I know me. When I'm tired, don't bug me. Let me rest, and then you can chew me out if you want to. Amen? And men, we need to take our places, and women, we need to take our places so that you understand that subjection doesn't come under the rule of truth of control. Because when you understand the Bible principle, you're going to want to do more for your husband, and your husband's going to do more for you. Amen. It's not a matter of you're under me because this is what God says, and God does say it. But it has to be right, done right. Amen? Amen? So that oppression and depression and angers and hate don't come around. That's why we need to take our rightful places and don't give room to the enemy in our relationships. And maybe some of you have lost your spouse, whether it's your husband or your wife. And you need to understand that you need to teach others these principles in order to make it work so that the enemy doesn't come in and destroy more homes. Amen. You know, it's like I tell the devil, I'm not going to die till Jesus takes me. Amen. And if we've been divorced, we need to say this spirit of divorce will not continue. I'm going to see what went wrong the other way on the other one, and I'm not going to apply that to mine. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to change my stinking thinking and put on the mind of Christ and the principles of the gospel so that I can walk according to God. And I ask God tonight for some of you women that are here wounded and abused and feel the hurts. I ask God to just pour the oil and wine into you tonight, that healing will come to you. And let me tell you something. There are things that happen in our lives that it's not going to heal. It's not going to change. But healing can be there and joy can be restored. And the blessing of the Lord can be there. You know, some have married and remarried, and divorces have followed. And three, I dealt with a woman in my church. She says, I'm going to leave my husband. You know, he's all messed up. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You've had 7 husbands. Can't believe they all are that messed up. I said, why don't you check yourself and see what's wrong with you, Jezebel? And so did deliverance on her and began to instruct her, began to teach her and said, look, you've been through 7 already. What's wrong with you? Prayed for her, delivered her, spoke the word, taught her, and then they both started singing and working together, singing in the church. Let me tell you, God forgives divorce, but man, put a stop to it. Amen. Stop blaming the other one. And maybe rightfully he was a turkey and a half. And maybe she was so messed up. But you need to take inventory. You need to take control of the forces in you and the forces without you. And understand that the power of the word is, if we apply the principles of the manual that God gave us, the Bible, that he knows better and he knows how to correct it for us so that we can function according to the principles of God. Amen. Do you get frustrated, Jack? Yeah, I do. I was I went over to see a hockey game, and I got excited because there's that fighting thing. You know, I used to fight a lot. And I went. I was already a Christian, and a brother invited me to a hockey game. And I got so excited. I went to work next day, and I had just been born again. I wasn't a Christian too long. And I was sharing with this guy. I said, I went to the hockey game yesterday. And, man, they got into it. They took the gloves off, and they went to it. And he very soberly looks at me, and he says, does a Christian like you enjoy fighting? And I said, yes, don't make me mad. You know, God is so good. I mean, we need to cherish, we need to love. You know, I'm constantly kissing my wife. We kiss the church. You know, she comes. The other day, the Lord says, I want you to take your wife. They were singing a worship song. And the Lord says, I want you to go dance with your wife. I said, okay. So I got my wife, took the mic, and we danced. And we just danced. In other churches, they would have kicked us out. But I'm the pastor, praise God. And so we danced. And then God said to the people, this is what I want to do with you. I want to romance you. And we had a good time. I said, well, that's sinful, brother. If you can't dance with your wife. You know, a brother came to me one time and says, you know what, brother? I said, I just don't like you kissing your wife in church all the time. I looked at him and said, would you rather I kiss yours, sir? Come on, somebody. You love your wife, you kiss your wife in church or out of church. It's like God put you together. It's like God's going to strike you dead in the church. I said, brother, don't come in with junky stuff like that. My Lord. You know, we're at home. We just pass in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? Boom. Amen. 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 Lift your hands up. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to apply your principles that they might work in our life. In the name of Jesus, let this word penetrate deep into our hearts and in our minds, that the power of God of this word would work in us. Deliver us from presumption and assumption. In the name of Jesus, Lord, turn us around to be servants of the Lord, starting at home with one another and with our family. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we turn down strongholds of authority without meaning, with authority that is wrong. In the name of Jesus, Father, we surrender our will to your will. In the name of Jesus, teach us, O God, how to walk according to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want you to shout at the count of three, the Lord be glorified. One, two, three. The Lord be glorified. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.